You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. Plenty to look forward to as well. Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio, and they're live from 1:35pm for great racing at Ascot and Newmarket. A good card at Redcar as well. Bit of jumping from Fontwell and all-weather action in the evening from Wolverhampton. Real good Saturday to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, good, Mark. And as you say, what a weekend that we have in store. There is plenty of racing action, plenty in the news as well this weekend. So, I think we're all ready to get it started, get it underway now.
Yeah, Saturday is always the big day, and we've got a good Saturday in prospect. But then we've got a real good Sunday as well with Arkdale at Longchamp.
A rare day where Sunday definitely tops the Saturday action. But Saturday, as you say, it isn't bad at all. We've got good cards from Ascot and Newmarket in particular, and a Group 1 event from Newmarket with the Sun Chariot taking place. So whilst there's plenty to look forward to on Sunday, there's plenty of water to pass under the bridge between now and then.
Yeah, we'll take a quick look ahead to some of Sunday's big action, the Ark in particular, in just a moment or two. But just touch on a bit of news to start with. Bad news for Yarmouth. Their turf track causing problems again. They're not going to race their final two fixtures of the year. It's all gone wrong for them, isn't it, really?
It has, and you do worry about the imminent future, the immediate future of Yarmouth Racecourse, because as we know with anything, once you start messing with turf and dragging turf up that's tens and hundreds of years old, it's very hard to replace, and there's no quick fix. You've got to give it time to bed, and clearly Yarmouth just needs a little bit more time to bed. We've seen the surface on top has been a little slippy this year, horses losing their footing, and then that is not ideal. And the knock-on effect it will have is when they do reopen, trainers, owners, connections of horses will be a little bit hesitant to send some of the nicer types to the track. And of course we know it's a track that that drew a big Newmarket crowd in particular. Plenty of Newmarket horses made the venture to Yarmouth, so there is a worry surrounding the track, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting a point you make there. I mean, I don't know how many runners you'll have sent to Yarmouth in the past, but would you second guess it now, perhaps, until you see it's actually bedded in it?
Yeah, I think you would, given that we've so much racing, so many other options. I think it would definitely be playing in the back of your mind.
All right. Hopefully that sorts itself out. Bit of news with regards to the national hunt season. Sy de Grugy, the 2014 Queen Mother Champion Chase winner. He looks as if he's going to start his season this year at Chepstow.
Yeah, it'll be good to see him back in action. Of course, he enjoyed a good year last year. Things didn't go right for him in the spring in the big events, unfortunately, but Connections will be hoping to get a cleaner run at it this time. Maybe it was all a little rushed with Sire de Grugy in the end. Whereas this time, if he's out nice and early and touch wood, he stays fit and healthy, then the Connections will look forward to having a real good run at it with him. And his presence at Chepstow so early in the season, it is sure to draw in a decent crowd next week.
Mm. Hopefully he can bounce back from a few disappointing efforts last year. Obviously, clearly everything wasn't quite right, was it, last year? So
no.
Hopefully so. Right, let's turn our attention to Sunday then. Just a couple of races I want to quickly get your thoughts on. The Foray, we'll start with that, because G-Force has been added to the Foray. It looks like it's going to be his final race. Can he go out on a high, do you think?
I imagine he might struggle to win the Foray myself. He just, whilst he enjoyed a fantastic year this last year, it hasn't really gone his way this year as of yet, has it, Mark? And you know, he's set for the breeding shed after this, and he's taking on horses that come here at the very very top of their game. So that would be a worry. I mean, you've got the likes of Lamato, who still look to be improving. Of course, he was so impressive last time out. So I would say it's doubtful he can go out with a number one next to his name, but if he does, then of course it's sure to add to his value as a stallion further. But come what may, he's sure to attract plenty of interest as a commercial stallion, being as good as he is, and with the pedigree he has out of that top race mare at Flanders. He's a sibling to many top class performers, and he's sure to be a popular choice for breeders.
Mm-hmm. Right, the big one itself then, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Let's go through the betting to start with. Trev, even money. Golden Horn, 92. 5-1 for New Bay. 16s then for Found and Free Eagle. 20-1 for Flincher and 33-1 or bigger prices for the others. We'll come on to Trev in a moment. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on her and Golden Horn, in fact. But New Bay is where we'll start, because Andre Farber, as we record this, has been talking up the chances of his runner.
Yeah, and you'd have to sit up and take note, wouldn't you, when Andre Farb talks up the chances of an ARC contender or any contender in a race. Yeah. But particularly as he has done, this horse has enjoyed a fantastic season, winning the French Derby at Chantilly three starts back. If anything, he's improved since then. He was ultra impressive in his ARC trial in the Pre-Niel, beating Silverware as he liked. And the fact that he has said, Andre Farb, that we've yet to see the best of him is very, very interesting. And he's going to be a contender. He's got a nice draw in stall 5. Vincent Chemineau knows him very, very well, having ridden him in his last 5 starts. He is undoubtedly one of the biggest, if not the biggest, danger to Trev.
Yeah, and I was just thinking at the moment as well, it's a quarter of the odds, 1-2-3 at the moment. Would he be the each-way play to nothing in the race?
Yeah, he could well be. And I think he's proven in the past that he's able to handle better ground. The ground is officially good to soft, I believe, at the moment. It's going to be near a good probably come Sunday. That might play against Trev, who does act on good ground, but is probably better with a little bit more juice underfoot. I think it'll help New Bay against her.
Yeah, I suppose that's, if there's any question marks around Trev at all, which there are a few, it's probably, is she as good on the quicker surface as she would be if it was a soft ground arc? At even money, would you be willing to take a chance?
Look, I think she'll win. Yeah. Whether I back her at even money against 17 other top-class performers, I'm not so sure. It's one of those ones where you want to see her win, don't you? Because we want to see history made. We want to be part of history in however many years' time. You want to say, I remember the day that Trev won 3 arcs on the bounce, something that had never been done before. But with regards to Trev, it'll be a watching brief for me this time around.
All right, and where does Golden Horn fit into it, in your opinion?
He's got to be a contender, but his draw in 14 isn't ideal. The other horse that I fancy to run well has also been berthed a little wide, and that's Free Eagle. I think Free Eagle would have been right on the heels of Golden Horn, if not, might have beaten him at Leopardstown last time out. And the word from the Weld camp is that this horse has thrived since his run in the Irish Champion Stakes. He comes into the race a very fresh horse for the time of year, having just had 2 starts to date. Yep. In 2015. He's trained by the master in Dirtwell, ridden by a master in Pat Smullen, and I think he might be the one to cause an upset, if there is an upset to be caused.
At 16-1 as well, he'd be...
I think he's a huge price.
Yeah, he looks overpriced.
He is a huge price.
Okay, well, we'll leave that there. Let's get stuck into Saturday's racing then. Sean's got 4 races for us, rather. He's got 3 at Ascot and 1 at Newmarket. We'll move on to those on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through the 3 at Ascot to start with, and then we'll go to the race at Newmarket. So starting in the 2:35 at Ascot, this is the Cumberland Lodge Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a half. Ronsdale is 11-4, Hillstar 3-1, 6-1 for Forgotten Voice, 13-2, just nibbled from 7s for Star Storm, Windshear is 7-1, 8s for Queen of Ice, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Nice Group 3 to kick off proceedings for us,
yeah,
here, Sean.
Yeah, good, hot little Group 3, isn't it? This event is well contested, and it's got a nice shape to it at the moment. Touchwood, all 8 remain in the race, and there'll be plenty of punters looking at having each way bets here, because it's wide open. Ronsdale has to bounce back from a very disappointing run last time out at Newbury, when he was sent off favourite for the Geoffrey Freer. He finished last, but that run was just too bad to be true. Prior to that, though, his form looks very good for this class of race. That third behind postponed in the King George was an excellent run. Prior to that, he'd been fourth behind Snow Sky at York in the Yorkshire Cup. So he's, if back to his best, he's got to be a big player. Hill start has been disappointing in 2015. I think you'd have to say he hasn't really gone on from the form that he showed last year, a season which ultimately saw him wind up winning the Canadian International at Woodbine in October of last year, a Grade 1 race. This year he's been beaten in Group 2 and 3 company, and he's going to have to bounce back to something like his best to win. This is a slightly easier race, though, than what he has been contesting. Forgotten Voice has been running well in handicaps off big weights of late, but I think it's going to take a mighty effort for a 10-year-old to win this, and maybe one or two of them elsewhere in the field will have to underperform. Star Storm is an improving 3-year-old, but I mean, he's only won a maiden and a Yarmouth handicap in his last two starts. A handicap last time off 86. He's going to need to take a big step forward. If Romsdal is back to his best, and the market will tell us how confident connections are and how well he is at home, then I think he's going to be hard to beat on the form that he showed here at Ascot two starts ago in the King George.
Okay, moving on to the 3.10 at Ascot next. This is the Ben Gough Stakes, which is a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. The market headed by Polybius, who's 7-2, 4-1 for Nadia, 9-2 Eastern Impact, Interception Sixes, 8 for Ailis, and Cable Bay, and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Quite an open race, this one, Sean. Who'd you like in there?
Yeah, it is. We'll start with Polybius, who was a winner last time out at Newmarket in listed company, beating Nadia. That was most definitely his best performance of the season, and a repeat performance would see him in the mix here. He was in excellent form this time last year, and he's continued that this time in the fall of this year. So maybe this is just his time of year, Polybius. I think he's a worthy market leader. Nadia was second behind Polybius and then was fourth behind Lamato last time out at Doncaster in the Park Stakes. That was an excellent run, though. Some of the very best 7-furlong horses around were assembled there. And I think Nadir is arguably at his best over 6 furlongs. At the start of the year, when he won the listed race at Doncaster, the Camage Trophy at the start of the season, I thought he was a sprinter that could be set for huge things in 2015. That hasn't unfolded, but he's proven himself a genuine listed Group 3 horse. Eastern Impact enjoyed a good year. He was behind Twilight Sun, finished 7th behind Twilight Sun in the Sprint Cup at Haydock last time out. That was a really good run in Group 1 company. He was 3rd in the July Cup, 3 starts back behind Muara. Jack Garrity gets on really well with this horse, and he's got to be a player. Interceptions enjoyed a good season winning the Wokingham at Royal Ascot, and has held her form pretty well since then, but you could argue she was disappointing last time. I think I'd just go for the rock-solid Eastern Impact, who's rarely run a bad race this season. Under Jack Garrity, around 9-2, that will make a bit of appeal.
Yeah, and Richard Fye is no stranger to big winners on a Saturday at the moment.
No, he's not doing too bad in recent weeks.
One of the big betting races of the day is the 3.45 at Ascot. This is the Challenge Cup, a heritage handicap over 7 furlongs. We have a field of 17 of them now because Burnt Sugar is a non-runner, but still have 4 places on offer each way. Buckstay is the 11-2 market leader. Make It Up is 8-1, 9-1 for Mr. Wynn. Outback Traveller is 10s, 12-1 for Heaven's Guest and René Mathis. Gabriel's Lad and Tatty Slew, another two at 12s, also Farlow, and 14s or bigger for the others. I've seen easier puzzles to solve here, Sean, so help us out in the...
Yeah, I'd agree with you. It's wide open, but I think the favourite has outstanding claims here, Buckstay. He ran an excellent race last time out over 6 furlongs. I think last time probably confirmed that 7 is his best trip. He was beaten a length and a quarter back in 5th in the Air Gold Cup a fortnight ago, doing all his best work inside the final furlong, and he was at his the closest at the finish. He was absolutely rattling home under Franberry. The step back to 7 furlongs on a stiff track will suit him. Jamie Spencer's ridden this horse in the past, and he's a master in these big field handicaps at Ascot in particular. He rides this track very, very well. So the booking of Jamie, I think, is a really good one. He's drawn okay in 8, particularly if they race up the middle. He'll get plenty of cover, and I think his claims are outstanding here. Make It Up is still improving. He's enjoyed a fantastic season, the three-year-old. But he's going to take quite some effort to win this off a mark of 111. Mr. Wynn won well at Newmarket last week. This will require a further step up, though. Richard Fahey's got four representatives in the race in the shape of Heaven's Guest, Rennie Mathis, Tatley Sue and Farlow. They're all currently 12-1 with us at William Hill. So his yard will be confident that they'll go close with at least one of them here. Gabriel's Lad is a horse who has often saved his best for Ascot. He hasn't had much racing this season. He's only had a couple of runs this season, but back to Ascot, he might run a big race. I think the main play here will be Buckstain. If you're going to have a little saver, I'd probably point you in the direction of Gabriel's Lad.
Couple to consider there then from Sean in the 3:45, and we finish with a look at the 3:30 at Newmarket, which is the Kingdom of Bahrain Sun Chariot Stakes, a Fillies Group 1, part of the British Champion Series as well. It's over a mile, and the market headed by Esoteric, who's 11-8, 4-1 for Integral, 13-2 for Bowena, Mimara is 11-1, 12s for Fedail and Rialtra, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Andre Farbs, raids to the UK usually go somewhere near, and Esoteric looks to have a pretty good chance here, Sean.
Yeah, I think she's been brilliantly campaigned as well, unsurprisingly, this season by Andre Farbs. She ran an absolute belter two starts back at Deauville when finishing second behind Muhara in the Prix Maurice de Geest over 6.5 furlongs. That was her first try at sprinting. She ran a really good race. They said afterwards that they were using it as a prep for her run the following week in the Jacques Le Marois, and that proved to be an excellent prep because she came out and looked as good as ever in the Jacques Le Marois, beating stablemate Territories, who of course brought high-class form into the race. She beat the colts at Deauville last time out. She's back against her own sex, against the fillies here. I think she'll win. She's won here at Newmarket in the past, so we know the track will pose no problem to her. Pierre Charles Boudot has ridden her plenty and knows the mare inside out. And I think she's just likely to prove a class above these. Integral comes right around this time of year. Of course, she won this race last year, beating Miss France. She hasn't looked as good this time around, though, and hasn't been seen since the Royal Meeting when beaten at odds on in a group 2-1 by Amazing Maria. So you're taking a little bit of a shot in the dark with Integral. I think she's tight enough at 4-1. One at a price that I think will outrun her odds is Irish Rookie, who again hasn't been seen since the Royal Meeting. She was second in the French 1,000 guineas at Longchamp behind Irva Dyer. That was top class form. She didn't run badly at the Royal Meeting when finishing seventh behind Irva Dyer then. She was midfield. It was a funny race, the Coronation Stakes. And as I said, I don't think she ran too bad to be beaten 5 lengths. So she's 14-1. She might run into the frame, but I think Esoteric's claims are outstanding. And she'd probably be the nap of the four races that we've covered.
Yeah, she looks to have a great chance. She was a Group 1 winner last time. She got within a length of Solo at Royal Ascot in the Queen Anne. Yeah. It's just form above, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is.
Let's just have a quick summary then, Sean, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
No problem. In the 2:35 from Ascot, the Cumberland Lodge, I'm going to side with Romsdal, hoping that he's back to his best. If he is back to his best, he's a class above these, as he proved two starts back when third, finishing third in the King George. In the 3:10 at Ascot, the John Guest Benghoff Stakes, I'm going to go with Eastern Impact, who's rock solid, is a genuine Group 3 horse, has run above himself in Group 1s this year. He's around 9-2. I think he's got an excellent chance. In the Challenge Cup, I'm going to go with Buckstay. He is the favourite, but his claims are obvious. He ran a purler over a trip at 6 furlongs last time out, which probably isn't ideal for him. Back to 7 with Jamie Spencer on board. There are a lot of positives surrounding him. I'd probably have a small saver on Gabriel's Lad as well in that race. And then in the Sun Chariot, I think Esoteric will win. And for those of you wanting to maybe play a horse at a bigger price or throw something in a forecast, Irish Rookie could be overpriced.
Superb. Good work, Sean. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth will be in the studio. We've got these two meetings, Ascot and Newmarket, a good card at Redcar, a bit of jumping at Fontwell and all of the racing in the evening at Wolverhampton. A superb Saturday to set up a real cracker of a weekend as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.